A few announcements before the homily. First, a reminder that right after Mass, we move right into adoration. We have adoration until 2:30 today. And then, of course, at 2:30, we have benediction. Also, right after the adoration, the beginning of adoration, I'll be in the confessional. If anyone has need of the sacrament, I'll be there until the last penitent. As we jump ahead a week, a reminder that next Wednesday, I know some of you just join us for Wednesday Mass. So next Wednesday, we do not have confessions in Mass. Those are canceled for Wednesday, September 2nd. We will still, however, have the rosary and adoration. And of course, with the adoration will be benediction. So the 2nd and 3rd, I'll be out for medical reasons. So just to let everybody know about that. The 2nd and 3rd, we do not have confessions or public Mass here at Our Lady of Grace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. So I think a quick review of the world and the history of the West in particular could be very helpful for us. Because what I realize more and more as I hear believers, they call themselves, speak, I just get the sense that we really are just completely lacking knowledge of what has happened and what has been taken. So first, let's go back before the Christian message. The ancient world was a dark place. People believed that the pagan deities toyed with us. We were their sex toys or their violent actions, their puppets. People were afraid. There was no sense of freedom. There was no understanding of virtue. There was no understanding of an afterlife or there would be beatitude or fellowship with the gods. This was not offered. It was a dark place. People looked out for their own. And sometimes even within their own, they were willing to throw out grandma when she became too much, or the eldest son would disown his mother when she became a widow. It was a harsh, brutal place. And then came the Christian message, the most liberating, powerful message in human history. Because these Christians came on the scene and they wanted to take care of the sick and the suffering, the abandoned, those on the periphery. What no other group had ever thought of doing in the course of human history, Christians did. We came on the scene and we declared, because of our belief in God becoming a man, that every human person had a dignity that could not be violated, an inviolable dignity. And because of that, we acted on it. We actually believed. And because of that, it shaped everything. And what has the Christian faith given to the world? Hospitals, nursing homes, orphanages, schools, social outreach centers. All the institutions that we now take for granted, their antecedents were created by Christians because of the belief that every human life had dignity. And again, we were willing to live by that, stake our lives on it. It was a radical message. We were the first multicultural group. We were multicultural before multicultural was a thing. Because in the Christian community, especially in the Eucharist, the rich ate with the poor. One tribe ate with another tribe. One group from one language group ate with another. Everyone was welcomed because all were seen as the children of God. That was a radical message, new, novel in the course of human history. And of course, we would take care of everyone, even those who are not our own. It was heroic enough that we would take care of the sick and the suffering among our own, but that we would even do so for those who are not Christian, and we would not demand that they convert in order to care for them, was unheard of. Dear friends, it changed the world. The gospel changed the world. It created what we now call Western civilization, one of the most humane, civilized cultures in human history. Nothing can rival with Western civilization. But then came along this thing called the Enlightenment. The more you study history, the more you realize everything is the opposite of what it calls itself. And what did the Enlightenment tell us? That we had left the realm of darkness and superstition. We no longer needed the light of faith. We could simply now rely on reason. It was never the patrimony given by the Christian faith. The Christian faith had always argued that in order to be truly knowledgeable, one needed both faith and reason. They complemented each other. Faith allowed reason not to fall into rationalism. I will only believe what I can understand. What a narcissistic, small little world. Just as reason would keep faith from becoming fanatical, like flying airplanes into buildings, the two were necessary in order for the person to fully mature and grow. As Pope St. John Paul II would teach, faith and reason become the two wings by which the human soul flies into the heart of God, the mind of God. But then the Enlightenment came and said we didn't need faith anymore. We had matured beyond that. And they began to dismantle all of the institutions, the way of life, the convictions grounded by faith and reason. And reason became absolutized. And there was no more room. There was no room for faith. And here's what the Enlightenment told us. We can have all the benefits of a Christian civilization without the whole Christ thing. We can have the civilization that Christianity gave us without Christianity. What our Southern writer Flannery O'Connor describes as the Church of Christ without Christ. And we actually believe that. There was a massive revolt in the intellectual tradition in which the entire early patrimony had been completely stripped. So much so that the time in which the human mind most grew, there were more developments in terms of science and technology, became described by the enlightened thinkers as the Dark Ages. The Dark Ages? Have you studied your history? The Dark Ages was a time of immense human prosperity and the flourishing of the human spirit. But it was a time of faith. So it had to be dark because they believed in that superstition. We have grown beyond that. We are smarter than that. And the vast majority of people now are sons and daughters, really, of the Enlightenment. They define themselves more by their own thoughts or their own feelings. Right. So after the Enlightenment, we had the Romantic movement. It told us real knowledge is of the emotions. My goodness. Today, when people say, well, I feel, when they really should be saying, I think, right? I feel, I don't care what you feel. Emotions blow with the wind, right? Tell me what you think. You got my attention, right? But even our language has been usurped. I feel. I think. I believe. I know. But the Enlightenment has taken over. And now what we have is what is described as modernism. The vast majority of believers who will only believe on their terms. I will only believe what I can understand. Rationalism has taken the rule of the day because it was no longer tempered by faith. Now, knowledge is simply what I can calculate, experiment on, dissect, and control. But what about the knowledge of the heart? What about the knowledge of the soul? We were once wiser when we acknowledged that there were different orders of knowledge. And we understood that the knowledge of the heart was equal to the knowledge that could be calculated and figured out. This explains why we love our neighbors, why mothers are willing to die for their children, why we go the extra mile, why people get married, why people are willing to die for what they believe, because the knowledge of the heart is a true knowledge. But you see, dear friends, when we begin to understand that the Enlightenment has changed our understanding of the faith, then when we look at scripture readings today, when the Lord tells us, you're a bunch of hypocrites. You're speaking the right words. You are so worried about how you look, but you're not living the faith. These are what we call the woes of the Lord. He gives these woes. What does the average believer do? Ignore them. That's not my Jesus. Jesus would never say that. Jesus was way too nice. Huh? Well, what about those teachings from St. Paul today? If you don't work, you don't eat. And he says, I had the apostolic privilege. I didn't have to work, but I did in order to model for you how you were to live. we see these core Christian values that have now been completely dismissed. And when we read them, even as believers, we can't really believe, no, St. Paul didn't say that. That's not what he meant. The Lord really didn't say that. But then suddenly we begin to realize it's exactly what he meant. And the call to faith requires the total dismantling of the Enlightenment lie. We live by faith in the Son of God, who loved us and gave himself for us. We are crucified with him. We are called to follow him. That is an order of knowledge that our forefathers and foremothers understood. They staked their lives on it. They were willing to take it seriously and do everything. Look at what they built, the whole of Western civilization. What an amazing reality. But look what the Enlightenment is destroying, because you cannot have the Christian civilization without Christ. This is why we're imploding, dear friends. This is why we see a return to barbarism. This is why, if we do not reform and repent and go back to our core foundational beliefs, Western civilization will be gone in 2 or 3 generations. Everyone thinks that can't happen. No, that can't happen. They thought that about the Babylonian Empire. It's gone. They thought that about the Roman Empire. It's gone. They thought about the Greek Empire. It's gone. They thought that most recently about the British Empire. It's gone. If we think that Western civilization will always be here, that we don't have to care for it and nurture it with the very core beliefs of faith and reason, then we're just fools. Fools that have been enlightened but do not know the ways of faith. I encourage you to dismantle these lies of the Enlightenment in your own heart. Do you truly accept the Lord Jesus? Have you dived into and truly taken the leap of faith, grounded in reason, but beyond it? Do you understand what faith really demands? Or have you tempered it, neutered it by rationalism, by the Enlightenment? Perhaps this is why the church is so weak, our institutions are crumbling, and we are no longer becoming a force to be reckoned with. This is why we have legalized abortion, legalized gay marriage, because the Christian voice has become a compromised voice, an enlightened voice. Look at all these enlightened Catholics, huh? We hear about, oh, they're so enlightened. No, they're just darkened. They're just rationalist sellouts who care nothing about the faith or the Lord Jesus. Where do we stand? Are we believers, or have we bought the lie? As we celebrate this Eucharist, we ask God to give us the grace of deeper faith, to truly take that leap, to live by what we claim to believe, and to show what faith and reason together can build and fight for the civilization that was given to us by our forefathers and foremothers, and realize that this doesn't have to be the end. But if we're quiet and we think that everything's okay, and we act like everything is just going to continue as it is, then we will lose this. And the next generations will have to fight the ages of barbarism, and it will be our fault because we were too lazy and unwilling to take the leap of faith. We ask for the gift of faith and generosity of heart. Make the act of faith, dear friends. Believe. Stake your life on it. Take the leap.